Hello, I'm Orla Smith. Welcome to the Science Translational Medicine podcast for January 2011. In this show, I will be speaking with Dr. Laird Jackson of Drexel University in Philadelphia. Dr. Jackson is author of a perspective in our January 12th issue about genetic testing for inherited diseases. There are more than 1,000 severe childhood diseases that are inherited recessively. Genetic screening is important because a child may inherit the disease if both parents carry a mutant allele, even if the parents don't appear to have the disease themselves. Currently, hospitals only screen prospective parents and newborns for a few of these diseases, but the latest technologies that sequence the human genome faster and cheaper than ever before are set to dramatically change genetic testing. In fact, this change may already be here. And that's according to two new studies in Science Translational Medicine from Stephen Kingsmore at the National Center for Genome Resources in Santa Fe and Dennis Lo at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. Kingsmore's team used genome sequencing to develop a carrier screen for several hundred recessive childhood diseases. And Lo's group used whole genome sequencing of maternal plasma DNA to develop a prenatal genetic test. But rolling out genetic testing for a long list of diseases and to a much broader population raises many societal issues that Laird Jackson discusses in his perspective. Here now is Dr. Jackson on the line from Philadelphia to tell us more. Welcome, Dr. Jackson, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So we already have genetic testing for some disorders, like cystic fibrosis and Tay-Sachs disease. How will the latest genome sequencing technologies change this type of carrier genetic testing?
Well, genetic testing for the carrier state, as you just explained, is only done for a few disorders. And previously, the first of those were targeted towards disorders that occurred primarily in one ethnic group or another, for example, Tay-Sachs disease in the Eastern European Jewish-derived population. Cystic fibrosis occurs rather broadly, and that was the first to be generally tested. But even there, one is only talking about a few disorders, so that most people tend to dismiss this as something that probably affects someone else and not themselves. When one starts testing for 400 or 500 different genes in the recessive state, in a carrier state in a parent, then that's going to mean that everyone has to think about that kind of testing.
So that's what Kingsmore and his team did, right?
That is exactly correct.
So perhaps you could tell us about the genome sequencing carrier screen they developed.
Well, they used essentially off-the-shelf technology. That is, there are techniques that are improving almost monthly to sequence the human genome. These are based on molecular techniques that have been around for a long time, but the ability to get machines to do this with rapid detection of the addition of each code letter to the sequence so that you get a string of code letters has advanced markedly, so that the cost has been lowered and the speed with which one can do this is increased. So Kingsmore and his colleagues simply took an available technology, one that one can purchase now, and showed that by concentrating only on the coding segments of about 450 genes that cause significant childhood disease for which one can detect the carrier but cannot treat the child, that they could use current technology to cost-effectively determine the carrier state for any or all of these in an individual. So they simply used current technology, but they showed that it can be applied in a cost-effective sense. And if one did that and used that information, you would reduce childhood suffering and costs of care significantly.
So is it going to be possible to scale up this comprehensive carrier screen for routine use in clinics and hospitals?
Yes, I'm certain that it can. The technology that Kingsmore used is slower and more costly than a recently developed technology that is only now beginning to be available for purchase and use in a clinical laboratory. That is a development of one of the early pioneers of genome sequencing technology. This current technology was developed by Jonathan Rothberg, and he recently sold his invention to a company that is bent on developing it rapidly. They intend, and have said so in public releases, to make this like an iPod so that any clinical laboratory can afford to purchase this and apply it clinically for genome sequencing.
Now, moving over to Dennis Lowe's study, his group also used genome sequencing, but in their case, they developed a prenatal genetic test. Can you tell us more about their study and what they found?
Yes, the Dennis Lowe group used a very innovative approach. They used the same sort of technology. As a matter of fact, they used the same technological platform in their work. But what they did was they recovered DNA from the plasma in the mother's circulation, a mother who was pregnant. It has been known for some time, since the late 1990s, that cells break down in your circulation and free DNA circulates there. And in the case of a pregnant woman, that free DNA is about 90% her own, and about 10% of it belongs to the fetus coming from breakdown of cells at the placental interface with the mother. So what Dr. Lowe's group did was that they used the detection of short pieces of DNA, which are called SNPs, SNP for single nucleotide polymorphism, and they were able to determine which of the pieces of DNA were fetal by associating the coding piece of the DNA with another piece, like a fingerprint piece that's next to it. And with a very highly technical approach, they were able to demonstrate that they could rule in or out the transmission of a mother's gene to her child, even though her gene and the child's gene, the fetal gene, are exactly the same.
And what did they find?
They used this in a pregnancy which was at risk for a form of blood anemia that's common in Southeast Asia, where Hong Kong is located. It's called thalassemia. And they knew how to detect the father's mutation because, of course, that would be different from the mother's. But they were able to show that the mother's mutation was not transmitted to her fetus, so the fetus would not have this form of blood anemia.
The Kingsmore and Lowe studies suggest that carrier screening and prenatal genetic diagnosis could be rolled out to a much broader population fairly soon. Doesn't this raise difficult societal issues?
Well, it raises an issue for almost every member of society because it offers to make both of these genetic tests widely available simply because it will reduce their cost, it will speed up the time that it takes to do any one of these tests, and especially for the prenatal test that Dr. Lowe developed. Instead of a mother having to travel to a specialized center, see a specialized obstetrician who knows how to perform either an amniocentesis or a chorionic villus sampling, using a specialized person that knows exactly how to image the fetus with ultrasound, the mother can simply have a blood sample drawn at some local hospital, and that can be sent to a centralized laboratory. So cost and access will be dramatically changed. And this means that any pregnant woman or any new couple that plans reproduction needs to think about these technologies and their genes and what they want or don't want transmitted to their children.
And the societal issues raised by genetic testing, like who should be tested and at what age, are they being discussed more broadly?
Well, they are. They are being taken up by official organizations that deal with pediatrics, obstetrics, and genetics, and they're being taken up by the Public Health Service, those people who have formerly concentrated on newborn screening for genetic diseases, now have a new committee that's formed by the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare called the Secretary's Advisory Committee on Genetics, Health, and Society. So both our own federal governmental health advisory groups and also professional advisory groups are taking this up. And they need to get lay people and other religious and so forth advisors involved in these discussions.
Dr. Jackson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was Laird Jackson of Drexel University in Philadelphia. Check out his perspective and the Kingsmore and Lowe studies on the Science Translational Medicine website at stm.sciencemag.org. I'm Orla Smith. Thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Science Translational Medicine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, working together to advance science and serve society.